With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back at it with another episode of Zone Time. The rotating cast continues with our show. Some new panelists are on this week. Rahef Issa is back. Good to see you, Rahef. Of course, Omar is back as well. You know him from In the Mentions. And the Kyrie Irving of Food Takes, Avery Lewis McDougal, is also here with us. Thank you. Well, now he's gone because it seems as if I've upset him. But yeah, Zone Time is back with our second episode of a full 82-game season. I've missed you, Avery, and I've missed you, Rahef. Avery, I'm sorry if I upset you. You're also
How dare you, Julian?
No. Don't put this on me. You're the dude who doesn't like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Hey, for the record, I know the earth is round, so call me Kyrie is nuts.
I mean, I don't like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches either. So Avery, I'm on your side here.
Thank you, Rahef.
What? How?
I mean, peanut butter, I can kind of take it or leave it. So I mean,
what? Okay, like, I mean, I'm not saying you have to love PBJ sandwiches, but like, what? I've never seen this many people dislike PB&J.
But here's the thing, man. Like, sometimes the love for peanut butter just goes crazy. Like, I know someone who puts like 5 inches of peanut butter on their toast in the morning. Like, it's so much so that you can literally see it just, like, fall off the toast. Like, that's a little, aggressive.
Is it smooth or is it crunchy?
Oh, there's a difference?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know, man.
Okay. Clearly, this is Zone Time and not the Peanut Butter and Jelly Podcast. I have to talk to you guys at the end of this recording here. But with all that consternation with food, we have to get into some of these NHL topics here. We'll get into some, I guess, our own variation of bold predictions, and we have some rapid fire questions we'll throw out as well. But as of this recording, and I can't wait for us to make jokes if somehow this changes by the time this episode comes up, but as of right now, Brady Tkachuk has not signed with the Ottawa Senators. He's the lone RFA left standing from this summer, which saw a whole bunch of RFAs go through their negotiations and eventually get signed. If you're an Ottawa Senators fan, which none of us are here, I wonder like what the level of like frustration is right now as fans. And Omar's already given the thumbs down. So Omar, I'll let you start off here. How are you feeling if you just put yourself in the shoes of an Ottawa Senators fan for like 5 minutes? Like, how are you feeling about this?
Confused, honestly. I mean, I've been making the joke the whole offseason, like, everyone looks at cap friendly, right? Everyone tries to understand their team's cap situation. And every single time you go to the cap friendly homepage, you see the Ottawa Senators at the bottom of the list because they have the most cap space. For the majority of the offseason, they were below the floor. So it's just like, how have we gotten to this point where the regular season is starting really soon and he hasn't been signed yet? So is it, I don't know, is it managing being cheap? Are they kind of going overboard? Is it Tkachuk's camp? So there's just a lot of things that are kind of going on. And I think the funny thing is that with each new deal that we see being signed, I think it's really making things even more complicated for a new deal. Like, I was starting to think that because, you know, the Tkachuk wants to sign short term, whereas the Sens want him to sign long term. They want him to be captain or some type of leadership figure. So I was thinking, okay, maybe he might get a deal similar to what his brother got with Calgary, like 3 years at seven. But now if I'm looking at like what Suzuki got, you know, 8 years at, what was it, 7.85, I don't know if I believe. Yeah, I don't know if I do that for. I don't know if I pay Brady Tkachuk 3 years at seven when Nick Suzuki signed long term at, you know, that number, just with like in like a little less than a million more than that. So
is that a fair comparable between those two players? No. I know a lot of people like to say, like, you know, you're looking at different position players, but I don't know if that's a fair assessment between those two players.
No, not at all. Not at all. Both as far as position and definitely as far as skill set as well. I don't think Brady Tkachuk has it in him to be like a 30, 35 goal scorer. He's definitely like, you know, a power forward, kind of makes everyone else around him better. But Suzuki is in a different level as him. So to see Suzuki get that deal, and then it's like you go back to the Sens, it's like, okay, well, what's Brady going to get now? And is this going to continue or is this going to end soon?
Mm-hmm. And I think it's like really clear that Brady Tkachuk does not want to sign a long-term deal, because correct me if I'm wrong, but was he not offered an 8-year, $64 million deal by the Sens?
8 years was definitely thrown out. Yes.
Yeah. So if he's offered 8x8 and he's turning that down, it really seems like he wants to capitalize on a 3-year deal, you know, and maybe the salary cap increases in 3 years, you know, right now it's flat, nothing's changing there. And then he can, you know, cash in for more. So that seems really clearly what Brady Tkachuk wants. It's just obviously not what the Senators want to offer him at this point.
You know, I'm really surprised that there's no offer sheet for him. Like, how did no one offer sheet Brady Tkachuk? How did no one, like, we saw what happened with Carolina Montreal. How did no team go in there and say, you know what? Screw it. 4 first round picks. Get over here, kid. Like, how did no one offer sheet him?
I mean, I was about to say, like, yeah, but you're giving up that's 4 first round picks for Brady Tkachuk. But then again, we just saw a team give up 2 first round picks for Jesperi Kotkaniemi. And now they're on the hook for like $6.1 million in the 15 at the end.
And they're also beefing with each other hard. Like the Habs in Carolina, they're going back and back. It's so funny to see. Like they're literally taking any opportunity to dig into each other a little bit. So you really are seeing that rivalry going via an offer sheet. But I don't know. I don't know. Like Brady Tkachuk probably makes any team better, right? So like I can understand the rationale of wanting to offer sheet him and maybe put him on the team. I really do wonder if the Jack Eichel situation was a little more clear. I wonder if a deal would have made sense there. I don't know. That might be a little mixed, but like just in the sense of just moving pieces around, just because like, do you really want to Dorian said last year, the rebuild is over. Okay, cool. And now the team is losing, like Colin White's gone for 4 to 6 months. They have all these players like they're kind of on the sidelines now. And if you want to be competitive, yeah, sure, you could try to be competitive, but you're not doing that without Brady Tkachuk, like especially considering how much he's being talked about. So I don't know. I think at some point he's got to give in to what the player wants, don't you?
Yeah, of course. I would imagine, right? Like I think the Ottawa Senators, they've tried to make it a whole thing about punching above their weight class. That's why they were able to take some skin off some teams at the, you know, core part of last season. But they can't do that without Brady Tkachuk. And I think if I'm a Senators fan right now, I'm anxious. If it starts getting to like William Nylander levels, that's like DEFCON 5, as far as I'm concerned, like going well into the first quarter of the season and your star player still isn't in uniform yet. Like that's concerning to me. I would imagine at this point, maybe Brady Tkachuk just wants to ensure he gets some UFA years. And then maybe he controls his destiny after that. But of course, if you're the Ottawa Senators, considering what he means to you, you lock that guy up as long as you can. But a lot of people also mentioning how the Tkachuk family seemingly getting involved in all this, Keith and Matthew as well. Like, I don't know. The more I kind of read into this, the more I get the sentiment that like maybe Brady ultimately, whether it's him or whether it's his family speaking in his ear, there's something going on that makes me want to think that he might find a way to just stick in Ottawa for the next few years. And then maybe him and Matthew like team up or something. Maybe I'm BSing here. I don't know. But like, I don't get the sense that I don't know. There's something off about these negotiations.
Well, you definitely have like two players in before both. Obviously, Keith Tkachuk has had a long NHL career and Matthew just went through it, who have been in this situation before. So they're probably telling him like, hey, they need you. So you made your stance, you told them what you want. Now you just sit back and wait, because it's true. Like they do need him. Right. And the thing about the culture of the team is if I'm someone else on the Ottawa Senators, especially like an up and coming star, and I'm watching how this is going with Brady, I'm thinking, okay, well, in a couple of years, I'm going to need my deal and I'm not going to, take anything less than what I'm deserving. So maybe I might do the same thing. So I would love to see what the thought process of Yuji Melnyk and Pierre Dorion and I guess Pierre Maguire now, what they're thinking about right now is whether they are, whether they're comfortable of sitting and waiting until December, or do they just say like, you know what, this isn't working, trade you somewhere else. That would be fascinating. I would love to see that. Not from just from the sense of just, you know, the rivalry thing, but like it would actually be very fascinating to see a team kind of pull a Lou, because it's a very Lou Lamoriello thing where it's like, this is the law, this is what we're giving you, you don't want it, okay, you're gone.
Goodbye.
But, yeah, literally just peace, deuces. Yeah,
that would send a message for sure to the other like young players on the team who don't have contracts yet. It kind of almost does remind me of the whole William Nylander situation for the Leafs. It's kind of like this one sends a message almost to the rest of the unsigned Ottawa Senators young players. But it is crazy to me though, because at the same time, the way that it's different is that Brady Tkachuk is you know, that he's the best forward on that team. Like he's the best player up front for them. So that's what makes it different for me. Like, and he knows that. It's clear that Brady Tkachuk knows that. And that may be, again, where Matthew Tkachuk and, you know, the Tkachuk family may be getting involved a little bit there, telling them, like, you are worth this. You're the best player on this team. What is Ottawa without you?
Avery, do you want to add anything before we move on?
I wanted to mention, you know, the young players. It's too bad, because if I was a Tim Stutzle, I would have said, you know what, hey, I would have sat back and said, you know what, my time to get paid. But now if the Senators do go that way and say, listen, kids, look at Brady, he got shipped out, it would suck to see him not get paid in Ottawa, because he deserves his money. Mm-hmm. Because you have Stutzle, he's a guy who is going to be one of the next key cogs for the Sens. So to see him playing for, you know, 4 cents an hour would suck for him as well.
4 cents an hour. I mean,
it is Ottawa. It is a Senator.
I mean, yes, but like, and I know the NHL players compared to other teams, you know, other leagues, they don't get paid as much for 4 cents on the dollar. Like,
I'm exaggerating, but we know the Sens. We know. I know you are. I'm just saying. Near 20 years.
Yeah. And like Brady Tkachuk, definitely, like every team has that player where it's just like, okay, here's a blank check, right? Whatever you want. And it feels like Brady Tkachuk should be that for Ottawa. So it's really interesting to see them like.
Really?
Yeah, man. Like this is the player.
He's a really good player, but like, I don't know if he's like write whatever check that you want. People are nitpicking at what Nick Suzuki's getting in Montreal. Some people might not even feel that way. Brady Tkachuk deserves that. I don't know about that.
I mean, for Ottawa, man, because they're talking about him being the captain, dude. Like he's that important to the organization. So I don't think it's from the sense of like his playing ability, like skill wise. No, I don't think so. I think maybe trying to get a long-term deal and hopefully he outplays that contract later on makes the most sense. But as far as the importance of the organization and where the fans are right now, the fans are pissed. They're like, the season's starting in a couple days. Where the hell is Brady? Right? So it's like at some point, you just got to like just take the L, take the loss. Just give Pierre Dorion a coffee, let him whip it at the wall again, sign him, you'll deal with it later on. You have him for 2 years and then try to renegotiate later on.
Right. And I mean, they don't want another Mark Stone situation, right? Yeah. This is something they have to try to avoid, because, you know, sooner or later, if he's not getting his way, Brady Tkachuk will just say bye.
Yeah. So, no one wants to be the Columbus, man. Columbus, how many stars did Columbus have to get rid of? Or who didn't want to stay, or either they walked away in free agency, or they requested a trade. No one wants to be that, and you don't want to set that precedence up, especially if you're a young and up and coming team, right? Like, because how many years does Connor Brown have left on? I know he just signed an extension not too long ago, but like Connor Brown, that might be a player you might want to bring back, and he's gonna want to get more considering his importance. So you just don't want to have that precedence. I guess you don't really want to have that energy that. You know, we're willing to you know, regardless of who you are, we're willing to dig deep and make sure you can't ask for whatever you want. And the Sens just haven't done enough as an organization in the last like 10 years to warrant players doing that. Now, again, that's very hypocritical considering what happened in Toronto, but that's a different.
You know what's crazy? This is like 20 years almost to the day of Alexei Yashin missing a whole year due to what? A contract dispute in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Mm-hmm. Yeah, jeez. My whole thing is just like Brady Tkachuk, I think you're right. And the fact right now he's the team's best player, but you also brought the fact he as a power forward, guys of that ilk, because of the style of play, you know, you're not going to necessarily get a guy who's getting 20 goals every single year at that player. The wear and tear is eventually going to wear down a guy like that. If we were talking about a guy like Tim Stützle or a guy with way more skill who could be this team's franchise player for 15, 20 years, or maybe not 20 years, but 15 years. Like, yes, I understand the whole blank check thing. I think you just have to be a little bit careful about who you throw out the blank check to. Brady Tkachuk is a top player in the National Hockey League. He is a top player for the Ottawa Senators. And I know we're just kind of throwing that out there. I'm sure you, I mean, we're talking about Eugene Melnyk and the Ottawa Senators here. There's no blank check for anybody, but like we got to be careful about some of the players who end up getting that moniker. Cause I mean, how many people in the National Hockey League can you really think of? And I understand that certain players mean a lot more to certain markets, but how many players in the National Hockey League can you think of are warranted enough where you, a general manager could step to them and be like, you know what? Here's a blank check. Take whatever you want. Connor, Sidney,
McKinnon,
Andre Vasilevsky,
McKinnon,
Draisaitl,
Matthews,
Kucherov.
Sure.
I think Barkov did that.
Is
that with Barkov? He's his next deal. He's getting double digits, man.
Is Brady Tkachuk really in that echelon yet? I don't know. He means a lot to the Ottawa Senators, but I don't know if they necessarily need to bow down to every whim just to get him to stay. That's just how I see it. Heck of a player. I mean, but his playing style, obviously, if he was a more skilled player, if he was a guy you can count on to score 80, 90 points every year, yes, you think of, all right, you give him everything that you can. But at the end of the day, I think you also have to think about what you're able to afford and what his style of play is for this team. They should still lock him up for quite some time, but I don't know if they necessarily need to. We don't need to get to a point where we're getting like 8-8, 8-9, and 8-10.
Like, oh, no. 10, imagine.
No, can you imagine? They got
that would,
10
that would, million. That would destroy, oh, that would destroy the contract market. That would destroy it. Any player would be like, yo, Brady got 10? Yo, 12, let's go. Man, imagine McKinnon. McKinnon would be like, yo, 15. Take it or leave it. That's it. like that would destroy the contract market. But yeah, I guess I see what you're saying. But I don't know. Like, I would just be so annoyed if I was a Sens fan, just again, because I would go to the cap friendly, see how much cap space there is, and be like, where the hell is Brady? So, but who knows?
I'll just end off with this Pierre Dorion story that I have. I don't know. It's a small one. It's just funny to me. I was at the Canadiens preseason game over the weekend. I got into an elevator with a bunch of journalists, and they're all packing up this elevator. And this attendant in the elevator is all like, there's one person's trying to get into the elevator. And the attendant's like, oh, hey, sorry. There's way too many people in the elevator. You're going to have to wait. And I looked up and it was Pierre Dorion. And he made some comment about like, this is what happens when you're media, whatever. And the doors closed and everyone laughed. But it's fun. It's fun spirited. Nothing bad happened. So yeah, Pierre Dorion gets a mention.
Did Pierre Maguire get in first? He's like, stand aside, kid. I'm getting in. take the stairs.
I can't wait until one day I meet Pierre Maguire in the flesh. And I just want to just ask him about the most random player and have him just tell me his life story.
Get him on his own time.
How would y'all I mean, I don't know if you'll want to hear the one episode where we addressed him, but like, I don't think we said anything that bad about Pierre Maguire anyway.
We didn't say anything bad. We just said like,
bad.
Said that? Okay. That's not
good. Yeah. That's what we did. I don't know about you, but I think Pierre Maguire on Zone Time, I would be thoroughly enthused at Pierre Maguire hanging out with a bunch of young people on Zone Time. I think that'd be a fun episode to watch. Anyway, the next segment we want to do here, it's kind of a variation on bold predictions. Everyone likes to do bold predictions, whether it's the Yahoo Sports Hockey podcast or so many other shows across hockey. We're going to do something slightly different. It doesn't have to be, you know, a specific take where it's like, this guy's going to get 80, 90 points. It could even just be a feeling. And it just has to be the hill that you'll die on. That's the name of the segment. This is the hill I'll die on. If I can learn how to speak English, maybe I can say the title correctly. This is the hill I'll die on. Everyone just give me a thought, a feeling. It could be a take if you want, but we're not calling it a bold prediction. I'll start. I'll get everyone going here. I am a firm believer in a team in the Atlantic Division this year to win a playoff round. Like, this team has not won a round in so long. There is so much pressure surrounding this team. Rahef, Omar, you know exactly what I'm talking about with the pressure of a team not being able to get out of the first round of the playoffs. They need this. And I think so. I'm so confident in this team. They're going to win the Atlantic Division. They will be better than so many other teams in that division. They have a good coach. They have a good core. And they have good goaltending as well. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Are you
the Florida Panthers?
Oh,
and you know what? You know what? I knew.
And now Omar is left.
There's no way I was gonna
use. I was like, is he doing the bait and switch? Is he honestly doing the bait and switch?
I knew Rahef was picking up on it, but I was looking at Omar and I was like, wait a minute, he might be buying this. I didn't know. No, this is the year the Florida Panthers. They win a playoff series. We make such a big deal about how the Toronto Maple Leafs haven't gotten past the first round. And that's a very big deal. We're talking about 17 years. Can you guess the last time the Florida Panthers got past the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs?
96.
1996. And that's the only year in their history where they won more than one round. They went all the way to the Stanley Cup final. Look at their playoff history. Every other year they've been to the Stanley Cup finals, they lose in the first round. And if you look through their history, they're like their first 2 years of the history, they missed the playoffs. Their third year, they go to the Stanley Cup final. Then it's just dry as desert, no postseason. Then they make it, losing the first round. There was that one year where the New York Islanders beat them with John Tavares, and they got past the first round for quite some time. But the Florida Panthers, just for whatever reason, they cannot get over that hump. But this is the year that they might be able to do it. This is the hill I will die on. The Florida Panthers will win the Atlantic Division. They have a great coach in Joel Quenneville. They were able to make some decent acquisitions in the offseason, getting guys like Sam Reinhart in the fold. They got Sam Bennett during last season, and he's fit pretty well with what they've got going on. Their goaltending situation, even if Sergei Bobrovsky isn't able to do the job, there's reason to believe Spencer Knight might be able to do it, and a lot of people are getting behind him too. And I think they're going to be able to win a round this year. They could go on a run. This is the hill I will die on. The Florida Panthers will win the Atlantic Division, and they will win a playoff round.
So Julian, I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. So you say, I need to move in for this one, that the Florida Panthers are going to win the Atlantic Division, number one.
Yes, the Florida Panthers are winning the Atlantic Division.
So
ahead of Tampa, ahead of Toronto, ahead of Boston.
So that's my next question. So
if
Florida is one, who's two and three?
Okay, so two and three. So it's your lucky day, Omar, because I did this mini exercise for myself where not only did I go through every division, the Atlantic Division, I went through every division and I did like 1 through 8 essentially, or whatever. Yeah, 1 through 8, because we have 32 teams.
Right.
Off the top of my head, because I'm not able to retrieve the list so quickly, Florida is one. I have Toronto 2.
Okay.
I'll say this about Toronto, though. Like, Toronto could finish 2, but I still have a very weird feeling about that franchise. And I still think, and maybe I'm hedging my bets by saying they're going to be 2 while also saying this, I have a weird feeling about this team this year, and I still think they're one bad losing streak from everything going off the rails. But if it doesn't happen, they're going to finish 2nd. Boston 3rd? No, Boston... Okay, Tampa 3rd and then Boston 4th.
Oh, okay.
I have Montreal. Here's the thing. The Canadiens, I did say on the last episode, I see them in a fight for a wild card spot. I could still see them there, but definitely the Carey Price news of the last week where he's now been admitted to the NHLPA Player Assistance Program. And I know some people are looking at it and be like, oh, he could be gone for a month. You can't put a timetable on how long you're in those programs. It really throws a lot of stuff out of whack. So I have Florida, I have Toronto, then I have Tampa, and then I have Boston as the top 4 teams in the Atlantic Division.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a very similar list, but I also, one of my takes is that I wouldn't be surprised if the Bruins just didn't make the playoffs at all this year.
Wow, that's a bold take.
It is bold. It's also wishful thinking, but
I don't know if it's that bold, personally. I don't necessarily see that.
Has not looked good.
You have to rely on him and Jeremy Swayman and Ned.
Yeah, here's the thing. Yeah, I think it's really big that they don't have Tuukka Rask anymore. Yeah. I think that's a huge factor for them. So I wouldn't be surprised if they lose that wild card spot to Montreal.
Ooh, okay. So Montreal gets in at the expense of Boston. Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
Okay. Avery or Omar, which of you two have hills you want to die on?
I will say that the Seattle Kraken will be a playoff team this year in the Pacific Division. They will finish third in the division this year.
Okay.
Because I firmly believe that right now that division, it's going to be either 1-2, you can put where you want to put them. It'll be Vegas, Edmonton 1-2. You can say Vegas 1, Edmonton 2, Edmonton 1, Vegas 2. Once you get past Edmonton, Vegas, I really feel it's going to be like a dogfight between Vancouver, Calgary, and Seattle for that last spot. The California teams, LA, not there yet. Going to be there soon, not there yet. Anaheim,
No, Anaheim's not.
The Ducks are not anywhere near there. I think in that dogfight between those teams of Vancouver, Calgary, and Seattle, the Kraken have a good shot at getting in there. I think the Kraken could be getting in there at, say, 92, 93 points. I do like the goaltender. I do like the goaltending of Chris Drieger and Grubauer. I think that's a good tandem for this team. And hey, the fact that expansion teams now are built to compete are way better than some 20 years ago when the Thrashers came in and were a garbage team, then when the Jackets came in and were awful, then when the Sens came in and put up negative 5 points. Like, it's way better to have these teams playing well from day one.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I think the big thing, it just comes down to the division. I remember Sam brought up the point on last episode of just how open the Pacific Division is. And like, you see, look at Vancouver, that has a lot of offense, and Seattle does have a lot of good points or good parts to it. I do think goaltending will probably be a big aspect of it. So yeah, I see that. Definitely.
Okay. For what me, about your hill? Yes.
Yes. I made a conscious decision this offseason not to engage in like Twitter arguments or like dunking on people. However, there's one thing that I can't resist talking about, and this will be my hill. My hill is that Leon Draisaitl.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Will spend more time on McDavid's wing than playing his supposed position at center.
Oh, what is this? They can't Leon do that. Dreisaitl, they need two lines to succeed.
Leon Draisaitl will be a winger the majority of the season this year. Even though they hyped up this offseason that they're going to have the 1-2, they're going to have a top line of Hyman, McDavid, and Puljujärvi. Draisaitl is going to play with Nugent Yamamoto. The season hasn't even started, and they already switched that up. Draisaitl right on the wing, and it makes sense. They're a dynamic duo, right? They score, they can find each other, they can both do amazing things. I get it, I understand it. However, let's end the discourse and stop putting Draisaitl in these top 50 center things and all this stuff. He's not a center, okay? On the Edmonton Oilers, he's not a center. He's McDavid's winger, and that's fine. Draisaitl is a great player. I'm not saying anything bad about Draisaitl. I remember last year someone brought up how many faceoffs he's taken relative to Matthews. How the heck? Okay, sure, fine, whatever. But Draisaitl is not a center, or at least he's not like the prototypical center that we think of. And obviously the Oilers view that they're at their best when McDavid and Draisaitl are together. Now, does that stand? I think that is going to stand, because usually what the Oilers do is that they try to separate them as much as possible. And then they're losing a game and they say, okay, well, Leon, Connor, off you go. And they do their magic. They score a bunch of goals and then that's it. Last year, I want to say out of all of Draisaitl's minutes, he played a third of his minutes on McDavid's wing. I think it's going to be the majority of that this season. That's the hill I will die on.
Note to editing, just like the last time, Omar said something about the Edmonton Oilers fans and the Edmonton Oilers. Please make sure we clip that just in case we need to go back to that again.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That was pretty funny. If memory serves, I think everyone who was on that episode where you talked to the Edmonton Oilers is here. I know Rahef was here.
Yeah, I remember that. That's when I looked Oilers fans dead in the eye and said, how does it feel? And then game seven happened.
Yeah, thank you. I'm still blaming you for that one.
It's my fault. It's my fault.
It's my fault. I predicted it. I knew we could not tempt fate. I knew. You.
Oh my God.
I want you to sit with the blame. Yeah. I'm blaming you.
I completely forgot that I did that. I completely forgot. As I laughed so hard when they got swept. I have never enjoyed such Schadenfreude in my entire life.
Yeah. And then I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
And then Omar, right on your head top, the game seven loss to Montreal.
Sheesh. Man, it's not even, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Okay. You can't talk about the Leafs' latest collapse. And yes, I said latest. You can't talk about the Leafs' latest collapse without, you have to start at game five. You have to start there. When they're losing and they come back, and then Alex Galchenyuk, backhand pass to whoever, 2-0 again.
Right. Actually, Alex Galchenyuk's best play as a Montreal Canadian, but I think his best play in the Canadiens organization, as far as I'm concerned. I think some people would say that.
That's fair. He was dominant on both ends of the ice. He directly set up two goals, and then that game six, same thing. Travis Dermott decides to do a spinorama. That's when everyone's like, oh, Dermott's not in the opening lineup. That sucks. No, it doesn't suck. Leo, listen, man, the anger I have towards Dermott after watching that documentary, like you watched it. Like, he was in the stands in game five. He watched Galchenyuk do what he did. And then in game six happened, he said, hold my beer. I'm going to do something worse. Spinorama backhand.
Speak your truth.
The Leafs are the
villains of their own story. I don't even remember what any player on Montreal did in that series. I don't remember who was in net for Montreal. Nothing's important. Montreal's not important. Nothing they did was important. It was all the Leafs. The Leafs are their own. They are their own villains. Like, 1,000%. Montreal's not important. It could be anybody. Substitute any player on that team, any other team. It does not matter. Montreal is just the latest.
Yep. Okay. The one thing I remember is Paul Byron scoring the nastiest goal of his freaking career, because of course he did. Like, where did that come from? Anyway, Draisaitl's gonna spend more time on McDavid's wing. That's what I'll die on.
By the way, if you want to hear Omar suffer more, I implore you to check out In the Mentions on the YouTube page for Yahoo Sports. Rahef, while we have you here, because I know last episode we touched off on the documentary, the All or Nothing documentary for the Leafs. Did you watch it at all? Do you have any thoughts and feelings on that you want to get off your chest?
I did not watch it. That was my own personal therapy.
Good. You're pure. Your spirit is in charge.
That's okay.
I couldn't do it. I have Amazon Prime. I opened the first episode hearing Will Arnett's voice, and then I said, you know what? Why am I doing this to myself? Like, for what purpose?
It's emotional warfare, man. They play the saddest song in the beginning. The first episode, they play arguably one of the saddest sounding songs ever. And it's just like, why am I watching this? And you know what's the messed up thing? And like, people thought I was making this up. I'm being dead serious. After Sheldon Keefe's speech, the Now Is the Time speech, I forgot they lost. I honestly God forgot they lost. I was so hyped. I was like, yo, this is freaking, this is Remember the Titans, Leave No Doubt. I was like, yo, they're gonna win. And then Travis Dermott got the puck, and I was like, oh, right, yeah, I forgot.
13-2 in shots, right? In overtime.
Julian.
Man. Sorry. Look, I'm not trying to bring this. Look, I realize here that
I'm just loving this. I'm enjoying this right now.
I'm not taking any actual pleasure in this. I realize that pretty much since that series, it has just been, Omar, you've gone through a lot of shit, man. Like, I generally feel like you need a hug, because you feel this so much. Raph, you deserve a hug too, but you're a Leafs fan as well.
Honestly, I feel nothing anymore. I'm like, okay. No, I'm immune to the pain. I just bounces right off. My other hill that I will die on is that the Leafs will finish first in the division. Austin Matthews will break the goal scoring record set by Rick Tocchet. And it won't matter. Nobody will care.
She's right. She is right, though. She does have a point.
That is true.
She does have a very good point. Yes, it's very fair because he did that.
Nobody will care.
That's fair. I mean, he won the Rocket Richard Trophy last year and it was for nothing, essentially. So, yeah, I can totally understand why people would be apathetic.
Yeah. And I don't even mean just about Matthews' record. I mean, like, the Leafs finishing first in the division, they could win the President's Trophy. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Honestly.
The only thing I would care about is Michael Bunting winning the Calder, because that's going to happen.
I don't know if Michael Bunting's winning the Calder this 1,000% year. 1,000%.
All right.
That's Cole a hill to die on. That's
Cole Caulfield is out there. Spencer Knight is out there. Okay. I think Mason McTavish is going to get to play in Anaheim this year.
Okay. That's cool.
Trevor Zegras there too.
Great players,
There's some good guys out here who have a good chance at winning that Calder Trophy, and you want Michael Bunting?
It's not that I want Michael Bunting. That's just a fact. This is the reality.
Avery and Rahef, I don't know if you guys watched the latest episode of In the Mentions. Omar has a Michael Bunting jersey.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Of course he does.
No qualms. That hat trick after the hat trick in the preseason, purchased immediately. And the thing is,
you bought it after a hat trick in the preseason.
100%. Oh, let's bring this up. Can we bring this up? So we're having a conversation.
Go ahead.
We're having a conversation about whether the preseason matters or not. And Julian does not believe that the preseason matters.
I mean, like, in the grand scheme of things, it's overblown.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know how many key injuries there were in the preseason? You wouldn't know that happened if you didn't watch the preseason game.
Who was playing on I think it's maybe 2 years ago. Who was playing on Connor McDavid's wing?
Ty Ratty.
And they scored like Ty Ratty. You guys telling me the preseason matters, Omar?
Yes, 1,000%. 1,000%. The preseason, 1,000%.
Yo.
1,000%. 1,000%. 1,000% the preseason matters. Because
if preseason mattered, Guillaume Latendresse would be the next Guy Lafleur. Don't come at me with preseason matters.
The preseason matters. I'm telling you the preseason
this
matters.
This is Matt Omar. Yo, yes. Omar's a Bunting jersey, Bunting shower curtains, Bunting bedspread.
Yes. Speak. Yes.
Yo, my man, my man has Michael Bunting boxers, my guy.
Yes,
I'm sure
everything.
He does.
Yo, this Michael going Bunting nuts. Bookmarks, Michael Bunting pencils, Michael Bunting phone case. I love Michael Bunting, man. Honestly, it's going to hurt so much when he's not that good this season. But you know what?
No. Do you know what's going to be worse? The Leafs are already like, you know, they're trying to write how they can lose in a more depressing way. So my opinion is that, you know, Michael Bunting will win the Calder, and it will make the first round loss even worse because, you know, they had Michael Bunting win the Calder, and then they still lost in the first round. Like, what more?
Michael could Bunting own goal.
So the Leafs will find a way to.
Yo, like Brian McCabe.
I think that would legitimately like make me like Thanos. Like I'd be snapped. I'd just like disintegrate. I'd be like, oh my god, I don't feel too good. I'd be like, Mr. McCabe.
Last point about Michael Bunting before we get to the rapid fire questions. What would hurt more? Actually, not even just going to do a side by side here. How long until Michael Bunting, I don't even know what his contract status is, but how long until he gets, no, is it a two way or one way?
No. He's not getting sent down. He's not getting sent. I would laugh so hard though if he did.
Oh,
I'd be like, what happened? Everything started so good. Anyway, yeah. I don't think that's gonna happen, but
also, last thing I'll say about preseason, shout out formerly of the Hockey News, Ken Campbell, who told me that he has not watched a preseason game, I think, since 2006.
Slipping.
Hey, look, you do what you want when you pop in, I guess, Mr. Ken Campbell. But yeah, that just goes to show there are hockey media members who don't even watch preseason. It can't matter that much.
It does. to an extent. Fine. I understand.
Okay. Okay, last segment of this chaotic episode of Zone Time. That's the point. It's supposed to be chaotic. More just rapid-fire questions, just some stuff just thrown out there. Just give a quick answer, or who cares, because time is finite anyway. First one here. Which storyline are you already sick of? Rahef, I'd like to start with you.
Anything to do with the word contract and Mitch Marner. You put those two together, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to. I'm tired. Every time a player signs a contract, Mitch Marner is trending on Twitter. Someone explain.
I don't want to see it.
It was bad enough during the Mitch Marner contract saga. I don't want to relive it every single time a new player signs a contract. I'm tired of it. That's it. Can we please stop? That's my mini rant about Mitch Marner and contracts.
Okay. Avery or Omar, is there a storyline you are already fed up of?
You know what? Even though it's not happening until next year, I am so sick of the impending talk of the jersey ads. Who cares? It's a patch on a jersey, a little patch. If you're busy watching a jersey patch during the whole game, then talk to somebody. You need to talk to somebody about that because that distracts you so much. What's going on? And also, too, like the NBA, I guarantee you the jersey patches will not be on the fan jerseys. So why does it bother you if there's a little patch for Scotiabank on the Habs jersey? Why does it bother you so much?
Mm-hmm.
It would be like something different. But Scotiabank, I could see it.
Yeah. I've never been a fan of these conversations, and considering what's going to happen this year, I know it's going to come up. The who should make the Olympic team stuff. I've never been a fan of that just because it's up to the coaching staff. It's not the, obviously the stars are going to go, but as far as who's going to fill out the rest of the roster, that's up to the coaching staff. Like when Babcock was coaching Canada, there were some like interesting choices that were being made. It wasn't necessarily like, the best Canadian players. So like all the discourse is going to come about like, oh, like this player didn't get named to the team or that player didn't get named to the team or whatever. It's already starting with like the Team USA, like the initially named Seth Jones to the team, but not Adam Fox. And people were like going off like, oh, but Adam Fox won the Norris. Like, yeah, this is the initial announcement. So that's something I've never really been too interested in. I know it's going to happen a lot, and I know we're all going to talk about it, but that's just something that's always been a little irksome for me, just because it comes down to the coaching staff and who the coaches want on the team, not necessarily, you know, they're going to go through a different website or look at Twitter mentions and then see like, oh, well, you know, Mary Sue 1239 says that we should bring Ryan Getzlaff back from like the past and bring his 2006 self into the Olympic lineup or something.
You want the 2006 very self?
I don't know. That's that was very detailed.
That's very detailed.
About. You know what I'm
also, talking about. you'll be happy to know, Omar. I think teams have until the end of the week to unveil their 55-man rosters for the Olympics. Jeez. So, whether like it or not, everyone will be talking about the Olympics. Next question for you. First coach to be fired. Actually, before you guys answer, actually, while you guys think about it, the storyline I'm already sick of, and it's the people who still throw this out there, people who are the three or four or five people who are still mad that the Tampa Bay Lightning put Nikita Kucherov on LTIR and found a way to make it to the Stanley Cup final. It's done. They did it already. They already won the Stanley Cup. Who cares? No one cares. Anyway, first coach to be fired. Avery, I'll start with you.
The team is going to be very good. So I will say Dallas Eakins is getting canned in Anaheim first. That team, even though they have Trevor Zegras and a young team, they're still not going to be very good. They're still going to be behind even San Jose and LA and the rest of the division. It'll be Dallas Eakins getting canned probably by Christmas.
Okay. That's pretty interesting. It's funny, actually. I wonder if people in Montreal, if they see it, as soon as Dallas Eakins gets gone, it, not saying he will happen, but if that does happen, there will be people in Montreal being like, oh, Joel Bouchard, their AHL coach, should take over. Why couldn't he coach in Montreal? But anyway, that's a very hyper-local thing. Omar, do you have a name of the first coach who could be fired? Just as a, you know.
Yeah. I remember Alain Vigneault was taking a lot of heat last season, especially when it comes down to how Carter Hart was playing. So I wonder if Philly is still, you know, obviously they have some injuries, but they have made some changes over the offseason. I wonder if despite all those additions that they're still it's November, maybe the beginning of December, and they're at the depths of the Eastern Conference, but there's still hope to kind of make the playoffs. I wonder if he's a coach that gets fired. I don't necessarily know who could replace him, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of heat and a lot of tension between AV and the players, and maybe even the front office behind closed doors. So that's actually a team I've been wanting to focus on as far as the coaching staff goes.
What about you, Raf?
I'm going to go maybe out on a limb and say Mike Sullivan in Pittsburgh.
That is really interesting.
That's a good one.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think that he's not Ron Hextall or Brian Burke's guy. So that's automatically a strike against. And I think the Penguins are going to get off to a slow start. And we've already seen this happen with the Penguins on more than one occasion where they get off to a slow start. They're not in the playoffs. They fire their coach and they surge back up to the top. So I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of just repeated history there.
Okay. I'll say my guy. I'm kind of torn between either Rick Bowness in Dallas or Craig Berube in St. Louis. I think both of those teams need to make the playoffs. I actually have both of them missing in the Central Division, and I think at least one of those two teams are going to fire their coach at some point in the year in the hopes of trying to get their team back into the playoffs. I'm leaning towards Craig Berube in St. Louis. I know Rick Bowness at least is on a year-to-year deal, but Craig Berube, I don't remember what his contract status is, but I think it might be more likely that he gets canned. The next one, team you're not buying. Who's the most overhyped, overrated team heading into this season? Omar.
That's a good one. Team,
we're all like thinking about this, and we're allowed to think about this.
Yeah. I mean, I guess which team that you think is going to be good but isn't.
Rahef, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was actually going to say maybe not the same like team that I think is overhyped, but I think team that's going to take the biggest step back from last season is going to be Carolina. In terms of the regular season, I think they're going to do a lot worse. And I think losing Hamilton is a big blow. So, and I also think their goaltending is not as good as it was the year before. So I think that I'm not buying the Carolina Hurricanes.
What about Tony DeAngelo in Carolina? Is he going to be good? Is he going to be bad? Does it really matter?
I wrote for Tony DeAngelo. I wrote the word ew. So
that's fine. That's fine. I realized partway through me asking that question, like, I don't think it really matters how good or bad he is.
I think I'm going to say the Rangers. The Rangers did something very weird where Tom Wilson single-handedly destroyed the franchise. And they just said, hey, let's take our skill and get some grit. Let's trade away Pavel Buchnevich and bring in Ryan Reeves. And I think the initial focus is going to be to play more physical and tough and not necessarily focus on things that are good, like their speed and their skill, which had me last year thinking that they might actually make a late season push. So maybe it's the Rangers. That's kind of a team that I might be thinking of who may not be in the sense of they may not be come across as tough or strong as they'd like to be. Another team, definitely Vancouver. I think Vancouver wants to make the playoffs and they're going to try to make the playoffs. And I think the division that they're in is going to make it easy for them, but you know, they are going to have a lot of skill but I think they're really going to have to rely on Thatcher Demko to be as in tip top shape the entire season because, that blue line is, not looking good. So
Avery, you got this one next and then we'll have one last one.
Yeah, you know, I will copy Omar and see the Rangers as well, too. New York is building a team that would have been good to have 25 years ago. They're building a team that's built, yeah, the heavy hockey, the grit and jam, building a team that, you know, to try and defend against Tom Wilson. You give all that money for Barclay Goodrow. I mean, I think it's going to backfire in a massive way for the Rangers. I think Rangers are going to take a step back. And it's too bad because I love Gerard Gallant. I love him as a head coach. So it's too bad he'll be coaching a team that will take a step back in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and they their first opponent of the year, by the way, the Washington Capitals later this week.
That's going to be it. Oh, wait, but isn't Ryan Reeves injured?
Yes, he is injured. Yes, he is injured. Yeah, the guy they would have wanted for Tom Wilson isn't even going to be there anyway, it looks
like. That's hilarious.
Last rapid-fire question for a segment, which I have to admit, I have not made it as rapid-fire as I can be, but that's okay. We're figuring things out. It's only episode 2. celebrity play-by-play guest that we'll see this year. We know Snoop Dogg has been in the broadcast booth. There's been a whole host of other guys. Who do you think will just randomly come across on Twitter one night and be like, oh, this guy is on this broadcast crew for this game? Who's it going to be?
I don't know if it's possible, man, but Bieber is a pretty big Leafs fan, and you can definitely see that the Leafs have kind of had that unity with Bieber kind of get stronger. There's that new Drew collection that no one can afford. expensive stuff, man. Like, I was going through it and I was like, oh man, $328 for a sweater. Okay, how much are the socks? Wow, $20 for a sock. Okay. But anyway, yeah.
You don't want socks, but you could afford a Michael Bunting jersey.
Yo,
that's not even in the same category. How dare you?
Let me see your budget, Omar. Let me see your finances.
Open up your wallet.
I wouldn't be surprised if, I don't know, maybe not for like a full game, but maybe as some intermission. We do know that Bieber does go to a lot of games. Man, if he's been very vocal as far as being a Leafs fan, especially on social media. So that maybe Bieber, if not Bieber, then maybe Harry Styles. You know, he's a big Carolina guy now.
He's gonna say Harry Styles. I think he's gonna come out of nowhere and just continue confounding every single person on Twitter by just randomly showing up with in a broadcast booth. So I'm gonna go with Harry Styles, and I really hope so. Honestly, I hope it's him.
Okay, what about you, Avery?
I'm gonna say I want to see Little John in the booth for Vegas Golden Knights game. I'm dead serious. Get Little John in there.
Yeah.
He shoots, he scores.
Yay.
Oh my god. That would be hilarious.
Really funny. My pick is going to be, and I guess it might be for one of the LA ones, and they have to finish filming at this point. We're going to get Ted Lasso in the game. I'm not saying Jason Sudeikis. I mean Ted Lasso in studio for like an LA Kings game as his character. Just like putting out like quips about being a goldfish and whatever. That's the one guy who I think is going to do it. Ted Lasso is going to do it. Yeah. I hope that happens. Season 2 was pretty good. Not as good as season 1, but this is not the Ted Lasso podcast. It's the Zone Time podcast, which we've reached our end for episode 2. Very chaotic. You can see we've all gotten accustomed to the fact that we are no longer chained by having 8 to 10 minutes to make our points. A lot of superstars emerging and a lot of slander towards one Michael Bunting and the wardrobe of one Omar White.
For no reason. Watch, Michael Bunting's going to score the first goal. And listen, man.
Him to score that goal, considering what the health of Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner.
What? Wait. They're fine. They're okay. Let's not put that negative energy into the universe, okay?
Negative energy? Like, but he took that hit, like, earlier in practice on Tuesday.
He's fine. He's okay. Okay. He's good.
That's very fair.
He said optimistically.
I hope so. And look, dude, I can't wait until the Leafs go on a run and we see Omar, like, you know, feeling like Thanos with all the stones and just wanting to just shit talk everything. Like, I want those episodes. I want you to gloat back at me because I feel like I've gotten enough shots at you, man. Like, don't worry about it. And of course, we got to see Avery do his thing as well. I'm guaranteed over under the amount of times we see Avery hatless this year. I'll put it at 2. I think we're going to see it at least once this year. And we're half. Atlas? I mean, you can't.
That's Atlas. A hard under.
It's a long season. It's a long season. It's not like last year. And Rahef just killing it as per usual. You shone like an all-star today, and I can't wait for more fiery takes from you on future episodes. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Zone Time. Subscribe on YouTube to the Yahoo Sports NHL page and subscribe wherever you get podcasts because this is a audio form show as well. So you can get on Spotify, Apple, and wherever else you can get podcasts. The Yahoo Sports NHL podcast feed. Please subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. For Omar, Rahef, and Avery, I'm Julian saying so long, and we'll talk to you all next week. Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.